Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View from Here. I've spent far too much time recently pondering the state in which our country finds itself. It's left me in a dark mood, close to hopeless, and even more cynical than I usually am. After reading Roger Cohen's recent editorial in the New York Times, I found myself agreeing with his premise that the country is so far enough around the bend that neo-fascists with weapons will undo the November election. Enough, I say. I lost sight for a while of what is really important to me, what I actually spend most of my days considering, and what will continue to be paramount whichever old white guy occupies the White House. The world is beautiful. It's the end of May in the Driftless, and our place is flowering alive. Crab apple and redbud violets and woodland poppies have bloomed. That gracious old apple tree is more forthcoming than ever. Abundanza, I say. Lilies of the valley and elderberry and hostas close on their heels, and the blueberries can hardly wait. There is splendor here on the land, regardless of what's playing there on the tube. Old men yell and young women yell back, but the giant Norway spruce can't hear them. Roots so deep and tops so tall, 150 years into the game, they have seen it all and ignored it all. That's what they do, these giants. That's just what they do. What if they did pay attention to us? Well, that's a whole other story, isn't it? We put in the herb garden this week. Mary does a brilliant job with all the flavors. She promises us a year full of rosemary and oregano and thyme and sage every year. There's simply no substitute for fresh basil, is there? The nasturtiums still surprise me, sweet to the eye and peppery on the tongue. I miss selling them to our old friend Harry at the farmer's market. He would amble by our stand every week like clockwork and take a couple of containers off our hands. "Where are my nasties?" he would ask. That's what he called nasturtiums. Then he'd bring them straight home to make something beautiful and peppery. I took down the old pear tree, which had given us incredible fruit for years, marvelous pears. Just ask Craig, he'll tell you. Took it down limb by limb down to the ground. I felt like I feel when we bury a pet. Bittersweet, melancholy, with happy memories all the same. On the flip side of the same coin, the new pears are pruned and caged against those prairie critters. They are part of our fruit tree plantings that include plum and apple and those pears. Some year going forward, the lucky folks who follow us on this land will reap the bounty. I'll get my request in early that they gift us a bushel of the fruit and some of the jams, jellies, and butters that they'll put up. The founders of this place paid so much forward with the spruce and cedars and lilacs. It's only fair that we leave a new, different bounty to the landsmen and women who come after we're gone. When I went down to the new pears, I walked Shiloh's path, the one he had worn over his 14 years on the planet. It's a dog's gate, wide and winding around trees and anthills. I wonder how many trips he made over that same route. Sometimes so many trips in a day, during our time together. Surely thousands of trips, I think. I feel like I should walk it every day, just to keep it groomed like he did. But I know I will never duplicate his focus, his utter satisfaction at patrolling the prairie that he owned, that we owned, together. This is the first week that I feel the sun on my face after returning to the house from hours outside. I bring it inside with me, tighter skin and a reddish glow that makes the slap of cold water feel like mercy itself. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say. It's not all politics. It's not all despair. It's not just the sum of my fears going forward. There is still this prairie. There is still this sky. There is still you and me and us. And we will survive all the nonsense.